when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's a really funny Friday over here in my kitchen.
It is.
Sophie's wearing bright hair, looking sparkly as ever, with the best laugh I heard in years. And today we have a really rather special guest who I am deeply honored actually reached out to myself on Instagram, the lovely Gloria. Because Gloria has been through one of life's probably most terrifying experiences and has remarkably come out stronger than ever on the other side and has some really, really important, poignant advice for all us ladies. So a very welcome to you, Gloria.
Welcome, hi. Gloria.
Hi, lovely ladies. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast in your kitchen. Caroline, I'm so happy. I reached out because I really admire both of you. I think you're both great girls. I think you're both funny. Your style is both amazing. I just thought it would be fabulous to just come here and have a little chat.
Yeah, well, we're really happy you've come and to talk about women's health. We
absolutely
couldn't be any more excited to hear what you're about to share with us.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about us empowering each other. Yeah. Sophie and I had a really funny evening last night where we actually ended up going to another women's empowerment evening. And it's really quite amazing, this whole... It's kind of a global movement towards women's empowerment. And I think that subject can pretty much be around every single area. And I think one thing is being incredible entrepreneurs and women today having the opportunity to do whatever they want career-wise. Mm-hmm. But we must not forget that no career is worth anything if you don't have your health in hand. So
absolutely.
I think everything starts from the inside.
Yeah.
And it's really, really important to stay tuned also to what's going on inside. And if you ever, because at the end of the day, I very much believe that we all kind of know. We all know what's going on. And I've always, probably also because I've been especially conscious around disease, because my mother died when I was 11 of cancer that had spread everywhere. And 21 days after diagnosis, my mother died of a heart attack because her cancer had basically eaten her body up. And you know, this is 32 years ago when we were not equipped with as much knowledge as we have today. Mm-hmm. And I also think, you know, that was a generation that tended to push everything that was uncomfortable under the carpet, whether it was a feeling or whether it be emotional or a physical feeling.
Absolutely.
And this is why I was really touched when Gloria reached out to me and said, you know what, I've got a very special story to tell. And the reason why I'd like to tell it is because I would like to help as many people as possible prevent, protect, so that they don't end up in the situation I was in, where fortunately all ended well.
Caroline. And actually, health is a big thing. You know, as women, as mothers, we get on, we look after the children, and sometimes we forget about ourselves. And actually, we need to be there for them. Mm. We want to be there for them. We want to show
absolutely.
Them the way.
Yeah.
We can't, that can't always happen, but we need to now, if you feel unwell, go and see your doctor. Mm-hmm. If it's about anything, unfortunately, lots of younger people are dying from cancer because they may have felt that lump in their breast and they are just too frightened to go.
or you think it's nothing. That's a lot of people always say, you know, I wasn't feeling that bad. And it takes quite a long time to develop symptoms for feeling that bad. So, bad enough to go to the doctor.
Absolutely. I had been feeling unwell for a couple of years.
Mm. Okay, and when you say you've been feeling unwell, can you describe to us
how you're feeling unwell?
Mm. Because I think, you know, there's one thing, you know, being tired, but then you think about the fact that your kids have been up five times every night for the last 10 days. So there's a reason why you're feeling weak. Can you explain to us exactly how you felt?
Absolutely. So beginning of 2016, I had a terrible asthma attack. Leading up to that, I kept getting very bad chest infections. Mm-hmm. By the end of 2000...
Had you ever had asthma before?
I'd had it very mildly.
Okay.
So again, this is why I wasn't really looking at it.
Yeah.
And then ended up almost passing out at 2 o'clock in the morning and had to be in hospital for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they just looked at my chest and said, right, fine, you could have died, but we've managed to save you.
Mm-hmm.
What hospital was that?
This was at the Whittington, actually. Mm-hmm. Looked after me really well, I have to say. They saved my life.
Mm.
I was great. I came out, plodded on another couple of years, but still didn't feel good. My joints were really bad. I felt like a 95-year-old woman when I was getting out of bed.
So does that mean you kind of felt heavy in your body?
My joints just moved.
Your bones hurt.
Bones were just hurting and aching. And then in April this year, I had an incident where I had to go into hospital. They thought I had kidney stones. They actually took blood tests from me.
Mm.
They actually sent me back into hospital to have an exploratory down the other end.
Can I ask you a question? So when they took your bloods, they took them to get a bit of a picture of your
Absolutely.
Bloods. Was there any indication there that there was some kind of big virus or bacterial
None.
Infection going on?
But I was then diagnosed with breast cancer that October.
Wow.
So it had to be there because I felt a lump. And for a lump to have grown in your body to the size that I felt, it would have had to been in my body for over 2 years to get to that size because they grow at microscopic.
So you can miss it. You can miss
Absolutely.
It even having health
you
checks.
You can miss things.
So
they can miss things.
So what do you ask for? A scan?
Have to be... There's a couple of things that need to happen here. From what I've gone through and from the age group that I am seeing, you need to, the minute you are unwell, you need to go to your doctors and you have to keep, you basically need to keep a health journal and they need to start marrying things.
Mm.
They need to start marrying things up because unfortunately, lots of times they test you here, test you there.
And they don't keep a record.
They're not keeping a record and they're not joining the dots up to say, well, actually, this is not right. You shouldn't be having three chest infections. You shouldn't be having this. Your immune system is on the floor now.
Yeah.
We need to help you.
Yeah.
I need to ask you, red and white blood count, did that not show any kind of, you know, either elevated or downfall? Was there nothing in the blood history that showed compromise to your health?
There absolutely should have been. Because when I went in April, he actually even said to me, you know, we haven't seen anything there because of a couple of things that we've noticed. He didn't say my blood counts.
No, but were there markers in your blood tests?
They didn't say that they were. I'm sure. Well, they definitely should. It absolutely should have been there because otherwise I wouldn't have had cancer.
Yeah.
You don't have.
My question is, would your blood picture in April where you got sick in October
show
if you were today to show these blood test results to a different kind of doctor who really goes in and looks at every single number, could there have been markers if read by the right person?
Yes.
They could have said there's something going on, there's
absolutely.
An infection going on, we don't know what it is, but something's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
So they could have nipped it in the bud sooner.
I have absolutely no qualms about that. Sorry, Caroline, I'm really sorry about that. I have no qualms about that. And it is very evident that lots of people that I am in contact with now or following have been dismissed and they have literally been a worse stage than I. I was lucky that I was only stage two.
Wow, but stage two is
stage
too far.
Stage two is still too far.
If you've been ill and you've been for the test.
Absolutely, yeah. Because for me, it was very, very sad because you don't go in there expecting to have this.
Yes.
It's bad enough when you're of an older age.
Yeah.
For me now, I want young people to be made so aware. So us as families, as mothers to children, we need to be looking at our children, making sure that actually if we take them to the doctors and the doctors just, you know, I understand that they're overstretched.
Yeah. Brush it under the carpet.
We need to make sure that we follow things through.
Absolutely.
So I've got to ask you a question now, Gloria. So this happened in 2016. How old were you, if I may ask, and had you had a mammogram?
So I have... this was the other thing. I had a mammogram. I am now 54.
Mm. So you were 52 when it happened?
I was 52 when
my... When did you have a mammogram?
I had my first mammogram at 50. I wasn't diagnosed till...
And at 50, they didn't see it. There was nothing in your breast at 50?
No, but...
On the mammogram?
Yeah, but what can happen is you have a mammogram every 2 years. This is what we also need to change. It needs to happen every year. Because what I believe happened... is I was only diagnosed last year. I first started becoming ill in 2016. Right. I wasn't actually diagnosed with breast cancer till last year.
When last year?
October. Wow. October the 8th was when I got it, went in and got my diagnosis. But 3 years previous to that, I had been very ill and couldn't understand. So this is where we are having big problems. A mammogram, we only get at a certain age... every 2 years. Yeah. Literally, I went and had my mammogram at 11:45, and at 5:45, my cancer cells must have started growing, literally, because that's how this was able to happen.
So my next question is, when they removed your tumour, did they say this has been in your body for at least this amount of time?
So there was two things that happened. When they I felt the lump. Mm-hmm. That's why I actually went and had different exams. When they did the exam... there were tiny, tiny little calcium cells. And this is what the mammogram picks up. They weren't actually even worried about the tumour. They were more concerned because it was a wider spread of these calcium cells that they needed to look into. That was the cancer, and that's what they were really worried about.
And so when did they see these calcium markings?
They saw those before I was diagnosed. What year? When they were, that was last year, October 2018. This is what made them diagnose me with cancer, the lump, tumour and those cells.
Mm-hmm. So I now have two questions for you. First of all, I'd like to know a little bit about your diet, what you've been eating, you know, in the last 5 years previous to you getting sick. I'd love to know if you were emotionally in a good place, both in terms of your private life, but also in your work. And let's start with that.
Okay, so unfortunately, the last 4 years for me have been an absolute nightmare. It's been absolutely stressful. I have my daughter who I raise with her father, but I'm a single parent, we're no longer together. She had been going through issues because she was a teenager and also with her gender.
Really?
Yeah, that's a whole new topic.
Oh, one of my favourite topics.
A whole new topic.
Topic. We've got to have that one too.
So I had lots going on and was dealing with it by myself. Now, unfortunately, I have put on a little bit of weight, but I am usually, I'm not going to say that I'm usually really, really thin, but I'm usually nicely toned. So my diet has always been really a little bit of what you fancy does you good, but I have to look after myself. I'm now in my 50s and I'm very, very aware of that. Mm-hmm. So I want to eat, but I do not. So my diet is very varied. I have lots of fish. I don't particularly eat lots of red meat. Chicken is my kind of meat that I eat most. If I go out, I might have a bit of beef, but there's lots of fruit, there's lots of vegetables.
Mm-hmm. And so it's always a good been varied kind of, balance.
It's always
sense.
Been very, very varied. Yeah. Very, very
and the
balanced.
Emotional.
And has your
chicken and fish, have they been steamed, fried, or grilled?
So most of the time, most of the time on my fish, I would never ever fry my fish unless I was having fish and chips on a Friday. That's another good story I've got for you. Other than that, it's going to be grilled or steamed. So very, very, very good. I would occasionally, until my daughter became very plant-based, have maybe bacon and eggs on a weekend. Mm-hmm. Bacon would be grilled. I would kind of fry the eggs, but no oil in there. You know, you can get those pans there. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm very, very, you know, I have no problem. I'm very, very conscious. Mm. I always have been. It's always been important to me how I look. So even though I enjoy food, I like getting into those skinny jeans a bit better than that. So, I've never, ever been a big eater. to be totally honest.
So your diet was actually pretty good. So it wasn't related to diet. So it was probably more related to emotional and stress.
Well,
can I ask you, were you working at the time? Did you have, were you comfortable in your life? Were you comfortable in your finances? Did you have any worries?
Most of my worries were emotional. I was very lucky that when myself and my daughter's father split up, he kind of looked, she was still able to go to a lovely school. I've got a lovely little flat. I was working part-time. I needed to be there for her. That was okay. Financially was okay. Everything with me was emotional.
Mm.
So I know that this can be a big trigger.
Mm. Yeah.
But what also can be a very big trigger, and this I had no idea of until I actually was diagnosed, that it's not only what you eat and stress, it's what you put on your face, so your skincare, because obviously everything has been absorbed into your body. It's all the fumes as well.
I've now got to ask you a quick question, because breast cancer, to me, the biggest alarm is women, most women, shave their armpits.
Mm-hmm.
Most women go to Boots and buy an aerosol spray.
Mm.
I believe that these aerosol sprays are
toxic.
Very, 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 very toxic. Yeah. Because when you're shaving, you have so many open pores. Mm. So I've been using pure deodorant for the last 15 years with nothing bad in. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's absolutely excellent. I mean, literally, the minute I got diagnosed, I'm really
conscious,
trying to look at everything, especially for my daughter. Mm. No, I haven't got two daughters, just the one. Because it is really, really important what we put in ourselves.
Yeah.
But there are, you might also be surprised to know, you might know that there are 5 or 6 different types of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So again, mine was the best of a worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
In that is, it is for, it's an older woman type and it is hormonal.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that the estrogen that I am producing in my body is turning my cells in my breast into cancerous cells. So I now, even though I've had the surgery, I now have to take this hormone suppressant so it will no longer be able to be receptive.
Right.
Now, that's my one type, so that's really quite easy to
manage
and to look after, and I will survive it.
But I've got to ask you a question here, because my beloved godmother, who I'm extremely close to, she survived stage 4 breast cancer, and she is one of the bravest women that I know. She made it very clear to me that she would never, ever, ever dream of going back on any kind of hormone after had her
absolutely
cancer.
Absolutely not. I mean, now there's another thing. So my type of cancer, and I only got this book yesterday when I happened to be at the hospital, and it actually outlined why my particular cancer was possibly formed. And out of those 4 things in that list, I had 3 of them.
And what were they?
The 3 things were that I had taken the contraceptive pill.
For how many years?
For at least 10 years.
Right.
From a very young age, because...
Me too, yeah.
Because I had horrific periods.
Mm. Heavy.
And it was very heavy.
Mm-hmm. That's why you took the pill.
That's why we took it quite early.
Same here, actually.
Okay, so...
Same here.
That's why I took it.
Yeah.
I also had a child after 35 years old.
I've done that too.
I've done that too.
Yeah.
And I also didn't breastfeed.
Oh, I did that.
I couldn't because she was tiny, so she just wouldn't do it. There was
one
other
child.
Thing. I just had one child because I couldn't have any more. I had her late-ish.
Mm.
And there was one other thing. Oh, age. It was because of my age, which I just can't help anyway.
Mm.
So those factors were, you know, I was a prime candidate for taking that.
Yeah.
There are many others that younger people can have. And this is why I really, really wanted to come today and really talk.
And highlight these areas.
Because...
And just not giving up. Because I think the thing is if you go to the doctor, you have your mammogram, you have your bloods taken, you kind of feel quite safe.
Yes.
And you leave the doctors thinking, great, there's nothing wrong with me. I feel okay. I'm not feeling my best, but I can live with the aches and pains that I've got.
Absolutely.
It could be a whole load of things that's causing them, stress, overworking out, whatever it is, the kids making you exhausted. whatever those things might be, we find reasons for why we're feeling rubbish.
This is it.
But as you say, you know, you have to almost be your own doctor and keep a record of what's going on and keep a diary and not give up if you're not feeling 100%.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, we Brits, we just kind of always have that stiff upper lip and think, you know, I'm not feeling that bad. My mother had a heart attack 3 years ago. Because my father wasn't sure if she was having a heart attack or not, he didn't want to waste ambulance time. So he actually called NHS Direct first and said, I think my wife's having a heart attack. And they said to him, we think you should hang up and call 999. And, you know, I mean, it's just that thing.
It is that thing.
You don't fully want to waste people's time if you're not feeling awful. And, you know, we think the symptoms for cancer is possibly losing your hair, possibly, you know, things that are actually obvious, but they could be just a feeling, a gut instinct, something feels off that we really should all pursue rather than just letting it go.
I think it's that thing that no one wants to think. I mean, I was adamant. I went to all the appointments by myself. I didn't want anyone with me because I just thought they're just going to say, oh, Miss Nelson, it's a cyst and you're going to be fine.
Mm.
I really, really did. But one of the reasons that I really wanted to bring awareness and really wanted to talk on your show was that there are very many younger people, young girls, that have been eating healthily, looking after themselves, and just cannot believe that they are going into the hospitals and being diagnosed.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I wonder, you know, it's very interesting, the whole conversation about the contraceptive pill, especially because a lot of young girls are not putting it, they're not using it for contraception as such, like us. They have decided to use it to minimalize a very heavy, painful period.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a very interesting conversation, Sophie, for you and I to have at one stage with someone like Victoria Young, who's my wonderful homeopath, to see what are the alternatives that are natural, that can work naturally, organically with the body without putting all hormones, these terrifying hormones into the body that I also believe lead to not much good.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
I absolutely agree. Mm. It's really frightening and it's shocking and...
And there are alternatives, but we don't know so much about the alternatives because the pill is the most convenient thing for a doctor to prescribe, probably, for you to take. It doesn't require any sort of in-depth, you know,
I think now
procedure.
They're going to, sorry for cutting across you, they're going to have to really think about it now, though, because now, 50 years on... They are having bigger numbers of people suffering from cancer than they did ever before, you know. So they've got to change it now.
But I've got to ask you something now. If you really go into your body and you really go into where you had that tumour in your right breast, do you feel instinctively that it was deodorant that went in there and harmed? Was it the combination of deodorant and being on the pill? Was it the combination of the deodorant and being on the pill and being under extreme emotional pressure altogether?
I can honestly say I can't tell you. I just don't know. I think
it was probably a combination.
A combination. I have two sisters, and one of them, the same day I was having my biopsy, which they need to take a little cell just to do things, she was having one as well, and she was cancer free.
Right.
And I ended up having cancer.
And do you have a record of history in your family?
No. I'm the first.
Really?
To.
So it has to be some factors about our environment and what we're doing.
Yes. So
because
they don't live in London.
History's changing.
I'm living in London.
Yeah.
They are. Look, I kind of think that I've just been very, very unlucky, but.
I have a very interesting question. Sorry to interrupt you, because I was yesterday with an incredible alternative therapist out in Essex, because I was very recently told that I have very high levels of mercury and aluminium in my body. And these have been shown, people who have cancer also have elevated heavy metals in their body. And his first question to me was, have you ever had silver or gold fillings? And I was like, I have never had any of these fillings, but I do remember that my mother had a couple of them. She had cancer. My father had quite a few of them. He had cancer too. And I do think that something that lies in your body in such a physically present way could also really be...
Definitely. I now need to go. So unfortunately, when you actually have... When you're diagnosed with cancer, it's not just one thing. You're given medication, and then this medication can cause something else. I was very lucky that I didn't need chemo or radiotherapy, but I do have to take this hormone suppressant, which messes up with my bones. So when I went to the dentist, they literally said to me, right, you need to make sure, if you need to take this medication for your bones, you need to come back to us and we need to sort your teeth out, because otherwise it's going to affect your bones. It'll affect all your bones and it'll affect the bones in your mouth. They also, I know that I have got quite a few fillings, and I absolutely think, I've actually said to them, this minute I finished all my treatment, I want these taken out, and I need to, unfortunately, I think they've done the damage.
Well, no, because you can always detox. I believe that, and especially after meeting with this guy yesterday, I've seen him twice now, and my levels have improved. You can do something really hardcore, which is taking a treatment that basically gets rid of the heavy metals through you're having something intravenous that coagulates everything and then brings it out. But this makes you feel very, very poorly, and in fact it's not as good for you as doing it very, very
way.
Gradually. Also, because the thing is that your heavy metals...
So what is the gentle way?
They can be in your brain. They can be in your thyroid. They can put themselves into a lot of different organs in your body. So Lee, who I went to see, he basically energetically helps it to come out. Then whilst treating you energetically, he creates a little homeopathic remedy, which you then take... drops morning and evening, and then you see him every few weeks. But he's really, really interesting. But another thing he said was also, if you do decide to go and have your aluminium fillings taken out of your teeth, one thing you can't do is replace them with white German fillings, because apparently a lot of the white German fillings have as much heavy metal in them.
Wow.
So it's really important that if you do decide to go and have all your fillings taken out, because I've got one crown in my mouth, and that is white. And I, of course, thought this was pure porcelain. And mine very possibly is, but you've got to make 100% sure that whatever is put into your mouth is pure.
Yeah, absolutely. My dentist was I was very fortunate that the minute I was diagnosed, I actually, you need to tell everyone that's looking after you, because, again, I didn't realise there were so many factors that, you know, you now need to look after your mouth, you need to look after the when I say I didn't realise you need to look after your mouth, I didn't realise that my dentist would have a problem if I was taking a certain medication. Mm. So it's just all such a big... It's not just, you know, the actual cancer that you're dealing with. It's all of the after effects.
Yeah, and, so, and the knock-on effect it has on everything.
So now it's a big deal about the prevention. Mm. So this is why, you know, I think young girls... The minute they start wearing their bras, they need to start checking themselves. Mm. You know, we form our habits very young. So to sell someone at 35, now, right, every month you need to check your boobs. I think, I'm sorry, with the cases that I've seen, I think it's too late. Mm. Mm. The minute your daughter has a bra, my daughter, unfortunately... I could only start telling her when it happened to me because I didn't know that. But I think it needs to be spoken about in schools. Mm, there needs to be someone going into school, telling
it
them.
It should be part of their sexual education lessons, which they're taught.
Absolutely.
I agree.
You know, this is a big thing. And now, girl, you know, obviously we are mothers, we are sisters, we are going to have daughters-in-laws, you know, you're going to have grandchildren, children, you know, someone is going to be affected by this hideous disease. And the reason people are still dying from it is because they are too scared to go and get anything done.
Yeah.
You know, so this is all...
So we need to take away the fear factor and the stigma and the embarrassment.
These are beautiful,
and the
beautiful boobs that we love. They bring us joy. They feed our children. Yeah. They bring us happiness. It's all of that. Mm. We don't want them to kill us. And they don't need to kill us now. Had I got this 20,
so can I ask you a question? Did you have to have your whole breast removed or just the tumour?
Yes, unfortunately I did. Okay. What happened was...
That must be quite an emotional thing to have to go through.
It was really awful. I found the lump, and when she said to me I had it, she said, look, it's only a small lump, it's fine, we can do a lumpectomy. And I was very much, right, that's absolutely great. I went in the following week and she said, oh, I'm really sorry, Miss Nelson, the mass is a lot bigger than we originally thought. We are now going to be able to offer you a skin-sparing mastectomy. Which
What's
means
a skin
so a skin sparing mastectomy is where they go in, they take out all of the breast, but they leave your nipple.
Okay.
So then they can, however you want it done, you can then decide on whether you want to leave it flat or if you want reconstruction, which can be done at that time or at a later date.
So do you then have to have an implant if you have that?
Then went from that to the following week saying, oh, I'm really sorry, we can't save your nipple now either.
Okay.
So every week I went in, it was more devastating.
Oh, gosh, that is such a hard thing to have to deal with.
It's very, very hard, and I can obviously have this conversation now. At the time, it took me weeks to be able to have even the conversation and talk about it.
Yeah,
but, of course.
But they made it very clear that... This is how I need to decide to fight for it. So,
and when it's a question of life or your breast, of course you go for life.
So what I did say to her was, I do not want to wake up with nothing there.
Yeah.
I need to have something. So she said to me, look, there are many ways that we can do reconstruction.
Yeah.
For you at this stage, you need to have if you don't want to wake up flat, an implant is the best way to do. And the reason...
And that's a silicone implant.
This is a silicone
implant.
Because
there's a lot of...
There are two different ones. There are a couple of different ones that you can have. But I had a silicone one, and I thought this was going to be all I would have. Mm-hmm. So it goes under your chest, and it's still, at this stage, it still does not look like a breast. It really just doesn't. It's literally there, so when you wake up, you can see a little something, as opposed to just nothing and a horrific scar.
Okay, but you can't have, they can't create a nipple for you, so you...
Not at that stage.
No,
but
okay,
they can.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I woke up, I couldn't look at it for many, many weeks afterwards, having it dressed, and I had to have a T-scar. So it's underneath the breast and up here. Okay, so implant was there, and I do remember kind of coming around thinking, well, where the hell is it? I can't see anything. And then I did manage to see. So I've got a bit of a mound there, which is fine. But what I then realised was I have two breasts that look totally different. I've got a 25-year-old girl here and a 55-year-old girl here, which do you know what? They've gone in and they've saved my life. And at the end of the day,
yeah.
that was, I woke up, thinking I would be devastated because I didn't have a nipple, but actually I was just happy to be alive.
Of course you
that
are.
That was
yeah.
the bit.
Okay. And be a mum and see your grandchildren.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was very, very happy with that. But a few months afterwards, I kind of thought, no, this is it. I'm really not happy with this. Mm. This is not... Even though they had said, look, it's not going to be one surgery. Mm-hmm. So I'm now looking at the end of June, having quite an extensive surgery where they can make this one look much more like that one from my own skin.
Oh, wow.
And they
That's
can build
amazing.
Up and make a...
And can you do that on the NHS?
This is all on the NHS.
That's amazing.
This is all part of... And again, 20 years ago, they wouldn't have done it. They didn't realise that it was actually a big part of a healing process.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, for a woman
emotionally, it's you've got to feel comfortable in your own skin because it's related to everything you're doing, being happy, being the best mum, feeling confident, not losing your mojo. These are all massive factors of us as people.
So...
Sorry, I'm just going to pull this around here so we can definitely hear you. No.
It was... it is amazing. Mm. It's a minefield. Mm. And when it's all... No matter how great it is that it's all going to be done, it's still something that I just don't want anyone to have to go through. It's just such a minefield.
You could have avoided it had your bloods been detected way back when, had the mammogram shown up. Have you had more regular mammograms?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that looking back now, I just went through this nearly three-year bout of illness that was like unexplainable.
That could have been avoided.
And, you know, so then, at that had it been found then, it literally would have been a little lumpectomy. They could have just got a few little cells out.
Yeah.
So it went from that to... But look, I can't blame anyone.
And this still here.
And I'm still here.
Thank God you picked it up at some point.
I'm totally grateful. Mm. But the reason, as I said, that I am here is that I want to be able to save young girls from going through this, knowing that it's all right. Talk about your breast. Feel your breast. Mm. Be aware of them. Do this every month.
Keep on top of your health.
Keep on top of your health.
If you don't feel great, tell someone, go and see your doctor. If you still don't feel great, if you're not happy with the outcome, ask to go and see a specialist.
Absolutely.
And you know, do the NHS do things like full body scans? Because these are becoming really popular now.
Okay.
It's a full body scan just to detect any... You know, precancerous cells, tumours, lumps, cysts, anything that looks strange.
Unfortunately, I think obviously we can't underestimate that the NHS work very, very hard, but lots of things are. The problem that we have, they put age brackets on things, not because they don't want to save their lives, it's because
of the budget.
It's because of budgets, and obviously they know once you get to a certain age,
you're
it is far more
likely.
Common.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I understand all of that, but I think as parents, we need to fight for things and to fight for your child when they go to secondary school to be told that they need to check their boobs.
Yeah.
It's not a big fight.
Yeah.
You know, literally the headmasters, their teachers could be telling them that in assembly, the PE teacher.
Mm.
You know, so that is...
It needs to be more talked about. And I think the NHS needs to step up on their care. I think we need to have these things every year. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody had heard of cervical cancer until Jade Goody, who we all saw on our TV, suddenly died.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden. And I think everybody was totally shocked by that. And then people suddenly started to think, gosh, okay, this can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
She had no idea until it was way too late.
Absolutely.
And you know, we are becoming more conscious, but we do need to keep on top of it. And I know that I'm, you know, pretty busy and life goes past so quickly. Mm. And my doctor said, here's your ticket for going to get a mammogram. I haven't had it yet.
Please.
You know, I will go. I promise you, especially now. But, you know, those things we put off.
Oh, absolutely.
We put off unless we're feeling bad or something feels slightly wrong. We don't go.
And
you know, we almost wait for a reason to go to the doctor rather than being
absolutely.
Proactive.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing that I really need to say is as well, even though not as common, men are being treated for breast cancer.
Wow. Gosh, I had no idea.
Yeah. They absolutely
are. Oh, my gosh.
So they need to be checking as well.
Mm.
It's nowhere near as common.
Wow.
But it absolutely happens.
And so it must be slightly related to deodorants. And they, I mean, these are all things
well,
that we've
all
been...
all of these things. You know, unfortunately, our whole society now at the moment is just really, really toxic. We need to just make sure...
And I think we're realising that. I think we're sort of waking up to the fact that what we're using in our homes, on our bodies,
absolutely.
On our
all
children, washing
this.
Our clothes with, you know, using, washing our dishes with...
All
everything
of
we're
it
using
has
is
to now,
toxic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now if you have, you know, if we want to save ourselves, we literally have to do...
We have to go green.
I mean, we absolutely.
Yeah. And I tell you, I mean, I've swapped everything over to Ecover. Yes, sometimes the clothes don't come out as completely gleaming as they might have done before, but I'd rather have a shirt that's not bright white, but has been washed in a gentle way than something that's going to be against my skin or worse, my boy's skin, that could potentially cause them harm. And I think, you know, these are all things that thankfully we are being alerted to now, but it's been a long overdue process and
really
we might
has.
Be too late for our generation
definitely
for sure.
We possibly are, but you know what? If we can now be teaching our children and it becomes
absolutely.
Very, very important to them, then it will become a way of life because they will not stand. Our children are much more on the ball than we are. They are much more, my daughter is much more eco-friendly than I was at her age.
Yeah.
And that, all we can do is get that to keep going on.
Yeah. And I think this is, you know, you coming and talking to us, speaking to each other, supporting each other. I mean, there's a whole movement to empower women, to make them feel strong, to support each other,
definitely.
To have each other's backs. So let's get talking about these taboo subjects, these things that we sweep under the carpet.
It's our bodies. They're our bodies. You know, we've got to look after
and
our bodies.
I mean, we're both mothers. The worst thing I can possibly imagine is not being able to see my children have their children.
Absolutely.
And that, for me, would be the most devastating thing that could ever happen. And I think for a whole load of other mothers, they feel exactly the same. You feel the same. So we have to look after ourselves because otherwise we're not going to be here to take care of our own children. So thank you very,
thank you
very much for coming to share it with us. And we will put some links up, some of your top tips for, you know, what reading material you've read, what sites you went, maybe health groups and
health groups. Yeah.
If you could share those with us, then we will make everybody aware of those when we go live with the podcast.
Yes.
And brilliant. So we'll take all that information. And any final thoughts that you want to share with our wonderful followers?
Keep safe. It's never too small to go to the doctor. Do not be embarrassed. We have to get over the embarrassment. These are our beautiful bodies. We need to preserve them.
Oh, Gloria, you are an absolute inspiration. You are a picture of health. You have shiny hair, a big smile and a happy face. So well done you for getting through it and getting through it so bravely. We're going to have to get you back on our podcast to talk about your other things that you mentioned, which is a whole nother topic of conversation, which is also very relevant at the moment. But thank you so much for sharing your story and with our lovely listeners and giving us some really important lessons on health.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. Okay, over and out. Lots of love from London.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.